away in every moment that I'm awake. And we know that we're not angels every moment that we awake, are we? So that's a big thing to say. But oh Lord, we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be with us this morning, just as we go into your word. Just keep this tickle out of my throat as well, Lord, and just have your way in us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Right, so what's the theme that we've been doing this year? Let's start with a pop quiz. God's ways, correct, yeah. So we've had this theme of God's ways, and we're going to continue along that theme. And one of the important values within our Christian walk is obedience. So that's something that I specifically want to look at today, is the fact that we are called to obedience. And, you know, when non-Christians look at us, they look from the outside, they think Christianity is just the set of rules and a whole lot of no's. Thou shalt not do this, and shalt not do that, and shalt not do this. And that's true, but there's a lot of obedience where we have to say yes to God as well. So I want to focus a bit more on that today. It's important, we've got to say no to the no's, you know, when God says don't do all these things, let's be obedient in that. But sometimes we miss out on the obedience when we don't say yes to things. We sort of keep in our little bubble and we try and be a good Christian, but we're too scared to make a move. But we actually need to step out and say yes. And we're going to look at, someone who really epitomizes obedience for me, one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is Noah. And he's probably up behind, no, he's not up behind me yet. I thought Annette had given him away, but you can put it up there. I think that kind of gives him away. So not just about saying what we say no to, but it's about saying yes to things, and it's about saying when should we do it, God, and how should we do it? Because sometimes we say yes to God, and then we say, okay, thanks, God, I'll put you back in the boot, and I'll go and do it my way, you know, the Frank Sinatra way. But we've got to learn how to do God's way and when to do it and to say yes and not just to be saying no to the bad stuff. And then you can see I've titled the preach this morning, Staying the Course, because obedience is not just about that first day when we come into the faith, but it's about continually walking. And I mean, it differs amongst us. Some of us may have only been Christians for a year. Some have been Christians maybe for 40 years. So it's different. And we need to stay obedient throughout our whole walk. And as Paul says, we need to run the race with endurance. We've got to see out our faith and walk out our faith and not just be obedient and then go and do our own thing. So it's for some of us, it's a longer race than others, but it's really about staying the course. Okay, so that's just a quick introduction. And now let's get into Noah. And I've put slides. I don't normally do PowerPoint, but I've got a few little charts and pictures that you'll see. Hopefully that'll keep the kids' attention as well. So we can move on to the first one. Thanks, Annette. So this is just so we can set the scene as to who Noah is, because sometimes, and I don't like calling it stories in the Bible, we call it accounts in the Bible, the account of Noah and the account of David, because they're not fairy tales, they're not stories. But just so that we can understand Noah a little bit better, Noah was actually the 10th generation after Adam. Because sometimes we look at these accounts of people and we see them in isolation and we don't understand where they fit into the bigger picture. So I just want to sketch a few minutes just to understand where Noah actually fits into the picture. So what strikes you from when you look at that chart? Yeah, let's amal baie oud jong. Very interesting when you look at that. All very old except Enoch. So Enoch is one of two people where it says in the Bible that they went to be with the Lord and there's no indication that they died. So Enoch and Elijah were just taken up to be with the Lord without actually dying. So that's why he was only 365. So, yeah, so on that slide you can see that the other nine are the nine oldest people, well, the nine people that lived the longest in the Bible. So those 10 generations lived very long. And the point I want to make there and why I'm illustrating that, if you go to the next slide, thanks Annette, and don't get baffled with all the numbers here now, but this just shows how much they overlapped each other. So if you look at that top row, Adam was 800, He spent 800 years with Seth. And then going all the way across, he spent 56 years in a relationship with Lamech, who was Noah's dad. So you can see there were massive overlaps between these guys in terms of the amount of time they spent with each other, which we don't have. You know, nowadays, you might know your grandfather. You're very lucky if you know your great-grandfather. You might also only know them for 20 years or so. But these guys had massive overlaps. So if you look at Noah's column 10 right on the end, you'll see he spent a lot of time with most of those generations. Unfortunately, he didn't get to know Adam and Seth or Enoch that got taken. But everybody else, he had massive overlaps. So you can imagine, they never had the Bible, but you can imagine the stories and the amount of time that they spent with each other and passing that knowledge on. So you can imagine if we had that nowadays, where you could spend 600 years or 200 years with someone, it's a really long time to get to know their heart. So just to illustrate, we know Noah was a man of God, that he was obedient, but he had a lot of training, let's say. And we don't know all of these characters. We don't know how good all of them were, but we do know that many of them walked closely with God, and he would have had that influence from them. And he didn't get to know Adam, but you can imagine Adam spent 56 years with Noah's father and 243 years with Noah's grandfather, Methuselah. And then Methuselah could have passed on what he got from Adam, he would have passed on to Noah. So just to indicate the overlap here. Right, thank you. We can move on to the next one. Right, so now we get into the story that we know well. I think everybody, even non-Christians, know the story of Noah. So let's get into the first scripture. And the Lord says, I will wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing. All the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. Let's just stop there as well. So you can just stay there, Annette. Just go back. I'm sorry I ever made them. So, that's quite a statement from God. So we know that God... Sorry, I'm blocking some other people here. We know that God wasn't happy with man. And he came up with this plan to cause the flood and wipe the people out. But did you ever take note of that scripture? I'm sorry I ever made them. Imagine how God's heart was breaking. Because he made all these people and they turned against him. Yeah, now we can move on. But Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. So what does blameless normally mean? And sorry, I should have done a few Afrikaans translations to help as well. But if you're blameless, it means that you're obedient, right? So he was righteous. He was blameless. That meant he was following what God told him to do. And if it says that he was in close fellowship, that means he was in relationship with God. So he wasn't just a man that was following the rules and following the no's. He was in relationship with God, and he was seeking for what God wanted to say to him and how he could follow God. That's what it means to be in close relationship with God. Okay, so that's Noah's character, right? God's chosen him because he's the only blameless guy. He's the only one that's walking in close relationship with God at that time. Then God gives him the instruction. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. So imagine when God makes that first statement. God says, build a large boat. So now, you know how our mind works. You can think of 10 things before the person gets to the next sentence. So God says, make a large boat. So now he's thinking, maybe it's the size of this hall so that my family can fit in. And then God continues. God says, construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. And then God actually gives him the measurements. And then it's like, oh my goodness, this is not a large boat. This is a huge boat. And sometimes it's useful for us to get perspective. So if we can just go to the next slide. So that is the Ark versus the Titanic. So the Titanic is twice as long, but there were hundreds of people involved in building that Titanic. And we know it was this like ship of dreams. I think most of us have seen Leonardo's movie and this massive ship and this biggest thing ever, and it only lasted 3 days and then it sunk. Whereas the ark withstood a lot more than that. So that's just an indication of the size of the ark. And if you've never seen the Titanic or the movie, I'll give you another one. If you can put up the football field. So I think a football field is a good reference. A lot of us have either played or watched football or rugby, or so you've got an idea of the size of the field. So that 135 meters is a very big structure to build in those days with the limited, you didn't have a builder's corner or a builder's warehouse around the corner, and all the perfect saws and tools and teams of men and scaffolding and all this. I mean, they had to do everything themselves. So a very large boat that he had to build. But then, not just about the size of it, there's the complexity as well. So if we go on, leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build 3 decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. So God starts giving him more direction as to exactly what he wants. So it wasn't just like this massive box or like an oversized shoebox. This was an intricate structure, and it was God gave him the specific design that it was actually a perfect vessel, and I don't know the right terminology, but it was a proper boat that if it tipped over in the flood, it would have right-sized itself again. So a proper seaworthy is probably the right term. A proper seaworthy vessel that God got Noah to create. It wasn't just a hot box. Okay, we can move on. So that play button doesn't work. I'm not going to show you this video, but this is actually a museum in Kentucky called the Ark Encounter. And I think people like me are just fascinated by the Ark. Firstly, by its size, by its complexity, and then also the fact that it would have had such a small team building it. I mean, who else is sort of wowed by the Ark and you'd love to actually walk inside that real one? Anyone? Yeah, okay. So this is a museum, although it's in America, so it's a little bit like a theme park or like a Disney World kind of setup. But it's set up like a museum where you go inside. You go inside, and then there's all different parts to that ark, and they give you the history of Noah and Methuselah and all these guys. So if you want to, you can go have a look at that on the website. But that's just to give you a glimpse of the complexity of that ark. Again, that it wasn't just a simple structure that they were building. Okay, next one. So now we move a little bit further on. God's told Noah what he wants to do. And then it says, Noah did exactly what God wanted. So God gave him this design, and Noah stuck to the design. And good thing he did, because we know God made this a specific seaworthy structure. It wasn't just this shoebox, but he did exactly. And this is part of the point I want to get across today in our obedience, is it's not just staying away from stuff, but it's stepping into what God wants for us. And we spoke 2 weeks ago about being Spirit-led. What does God want? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you now that he wants you to step into? So do you think Noah would have got opposition from people? Eh? Can you imagine? Remember there was no rain at that stage. We've just had beautiful rain today. There was no rain, and Noah starts building this massive ark. Can you imagine his neighbor? Like, why is this thing parked in my driveway and it's getting bigger and bigger? Eh? You're encroaching. You were in your driveway. Now you're into mine and you're into the road and you're just taking over the whole place here. So he would have definitely experienced opposition. What about his family? Are our family always on the same page as us? Not always. So that would have been tough for him as well. He's got 3 boys, 3 daughter-in-laws. Some of the old guys were still there. If we can put up that timeline. So this timeline gives you an idea of how long it took. This also wasn't a one-week project. We had to just withstand ridicule for a week. This was a huge project. We know the longest it could have been was 100 years, but it was probably somewhere between 50 and 75 years that it took to build the ark. So that's talk about perseverance and staying the course. So while we know it can't be more than 100 years, is Noah became a father when he was 500, and they went into the ark when he was 600. So we've got exactly a 100-year window, but it talks about God says to him, take your three sons and your three daughter-in-laws. So either God knew that they were going to get married, or maybe they were married already. That's why we don't know exactly, but people speculate that somewhere sort of halfway on that timeline, or maybe 25 years in, God instructed Noah to build the ark. So we're looking at a 50 to 75 year period that Noah took to build the ark. And also we don't know a lot of detail there. So how much did his sons help? How much did all the ladies help? We had the two older guys there still as well. So you'll see his dad is Lamech. So Lamech died 5 years before the flood came. So most of that time Lamech was around. And his granddad died in the year of the flood. So there's also a little bit of speculation. Did Methuselah die in the flood, or did he die before the flood? It seems to be general consensus with the theologians that he died maybe like a week before. So that's also God's timing, isn't it? That he died like a week before the floods actually came. And they actually went into the ark a week before because they had to get all the animals in, etc. So again, those old guys, were they spurring him on, or were they saying to him, Nia's Malman? I mean, there's no rain. What are you doing here? This is such a massive project. So even if he had his sons and his father and his grandfather there, maybe they were encouraging a lot of the time, but there's always some time, especially over a 75-year period, you're going to say, you know, is this really what God wants? And ik is namuch, you know, I've had enough of this. Are you sure this is what God wants? So the point I'm getting to is that Noah's obedience was a lot through his relationship with God, walking closely with the Lord. So he would have pulled some of his energy from his family, but I think he would have been lonely a lot of the time. A lot of the time it would have just been him and God. And don't we sometimes feel like that? We come to church, we've got community, but we spend a lot of time on our own. I spend a lot of time at my desk at work or in the car traveling to work. A lot of the time it's just me and God. And it's so important that we've got that close fellowship with God, that we're walking closely with him and that we're being obedient to him. Right, so that's enough about Noah, but there's other people in the Bible as well. There's other people that also modeled obedience. And we can make a long list. I've got Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Elijah, Daniel, Mary, Jesus. A lot of people that modeled obedience. But I just got a few scriptures here that I want to highlight, specific responses that I think are really key for us. So if we can let's start with the first one. Was there Luke 1 before that, or was it after that? It's after, okay. So do you remember young Samuel? He was being raised by Eli, and he heard this voice in the night, and he went to Eli and said, yes, what did you want? And Eli said, no, I didn't call you, it must be God. And Eli trained him to say, I'm going to get it wrong, speak, for your servant is listening. And then when God called again, that was Samuel's response, and it's such a lovely response to say, speak, God, your servant is listening. Next one. This was Mary. So, of course, Mary had the angel come to her and encourage her and say that you're going to be with child and the Holy Spirit's going to make you pregnant. And she says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So it was again like total submission. So these people are all saying yes. They're not just saying no to something. They're all saying, yes, God, I hear what you're saying to me and I want to respond to that. And that was her positive yes. Then I think we got Esther next. Isaiah next, sorry, I got the order wrong. No, it's fine. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? So this is God speaking to Isaiah. God had a very difficult message for the people and he wanted to send Isaiah with us. And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. That's also just such a lovely response, isn't it? Don't we wish that we always had that heart that we could respond, here I am, Lord, send me. Right? God wants somebody to go to Bloemfontein or Malawi. Here I am, Lord, send me. Okay. Then we got Esther. So Esther also had a very difficult assignment from God where she might have been killed. And she said, I will go to the king even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So again, really saying yes in a big way in terms of committing. And I mean, for us, we think it's inconvenient if we have to move congregations or go through to Sunningdale for a conference. I mean, these people had assignments where they were actually breaking the law and they might have been killed for that. Okay. Right, whose words are these? For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. That's Jesus' words. So Jesus as well very much modeled obedience to God and following God's will. So yeah, Jesus is not just saying yes, but he's also saying, I'm going to do it God's way and I'm not going to do it my way. So Jesus was sent and he could have said, well, I'm God, so I'm going to do everything my way. But he kept checking in with God and saying, what do you want me to do? Even going to the cross. I mean, that wasn't Jesus' first choice. But it was God's will, and Jesus made sure that he was stepping into God's will. And then one of the Psalms of David, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Teach me your paths. So David's also saying, I mean, David knew a lot. He could have also become arrogant and thought, I can do this on my own. And I think along his journey he did at some point. But at this point he's saying, God, teach me your ways. I want to follow exactly what you want for my life. And then another one, and this is one of my favorites as well. I've highlighted my key word there. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And actually, if you look in the Bible, especially in Mark's gospel, there's a lot of the use of immediately or at once. And that's just such a lovely picture as well of immediately they left their nets. And if God calls us to do something, do we first go and say, well, thank you, Lord, but I'm going to go pray about it, or let me think about it, or let me go and just do my somikis first to see if this is going to work, or do we immediately follow what God tells us to do? And, you know, it's good to, sometimes we think we're hearing God, and then you should pray about it and get perspective from your leaders and so on. But if God clearly communicates something to you, it's then time to take action. And sometimes we sit on things and we maybe only do it a year later or 2 years later, or God gives it to somebody else to do because we weren't obedient and we didn't do it exactly when he wanted us to do it. And we know God's timing. We've seen it in our lives. We shared some of those stories. We see it with some of these accounts in the Bible as well. God's timing is so precise that when he says do this, he needs you to do it now and not to sit on it for a month or a year, but to actually respond to that. And then did I give you Hebrews 12? Yeah. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So there's that word endurance coming through again. We've got to make sure that we're running the race, and we're not just saying, well, I'm a Christian now, and I'm going to just lock myself in my house and make sure that I'm assured of my salvation. We mustn't be closet Christians or couch Christians. We've got to be out there running the race, being used by God. So not just saying no, but saying yes and saying when God and how God and actually being used by God. And having faith, I mean, that is something that came through this morning as well, is really living with faith. So Noah must have, I mean, you build that ark for 75 years, trusting and believing that God's going to bring the rain. And what faith he must have had to actually persevere like that and to sit alone with God so many times in that 75 years or 50 years, however long it was, trusting that he's doing what God wants him to do and believing that God will send the rain. Okay, so how do we respond to that this morning? Okay, so let's go through those steps. So firstly, maybe there's something that you do need to say no to in your life. Right? Maybe there's something that is holding you back. And I think that's always the first step, is get the no's out the way so that you can say yes. Because often we held back by the no's and we want to step into more and we want to become a comm leader and get on the worship team or whatever it was and be used by God, but there's a no in our life that's not working that we need to deal with first. So make sure that you get on top of the no's, speak to your comm leader, speak to one of the leaders, speak to your accountability partner. I hope you guys have got accountability partners, and get the no's sorted out in your life. And then be brave enough to do the yeses. So we need to spur each other on. I've said before, we're not naturally people that like the mic. We're very introverted people, but we've just learned to say yes to God and just do whatever God gives us to do. And sometimes we can be very, I'm not the best speaker, and we can be very awkward doing these things, but it's stepping out and saying yes to God and being used by Him. And doing it now as well. So maybe some of you are procrastinators. You know, I love that, the sign on the church door that says, the procrastinators' weekly meeting has been moved to next month. You know, because... don't be a procrastinator. If God says do something, then do it. If God says clean this up or do this or go there, let's be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Let's get out there and do things. And then the fourth one is doing it God's way. So are we so clever that we think we can do it our way? Do you know that scripture in Isaiah that says God's ways are much higher than yours? And what I was doing in some of the communities that I was visiting was showing them just how big our known universe is and calculating 46 billion light years. That's a very big number. Maybe I'll put it up on the screen one day. But if you take 46 billion light years times the speed of light and the number of seconds in a year, etc., it's something like 20 digits or something. It's a huge number. And that's just how far man can see. So our known universe is 46 billion light years. God is beyond that. We can only see that far with a telescope, and then we run out at God. We know God's universe goes beyond that. That's how much God's ways are bigger than our ways, far above what we can even imagine. So we've got to trust God and don't think that we know better. And like if God says, right, we must go and plant in Botrafir, we won't plant the same way as that what we plant at Krabo. We'll ask God, how do you want us to plant this? And what we learned from Edgemead and Somerset West, we're not going to bring that here. What do you want for Krabo, God? We've got to follow God's way in everything. Even if we think we've learned that lesson before, we've got to seek what God wants in the situation. And then the fifth one is to persist, to have the endurance. And how do we have the endurance? From daily, sitting with God daily. We said, every moment that I'm awake, that's maybe not practical if we've got a job, you'll say, well, I can only give God 20 minutes in the morning and then I've got to give my employer the rest. But it's walking with God during the day. It's being conscious of God and allowing God to make your decisions and influence you during the day. Even though you are doing your work or cooking food or whatever you're doing, you can actually do that with the influence of God in your life for the day. So persist. Spend time with God. Don't forsake the gathering of the saints. We need to spend time with each other because we spur each other on. And we need to be positive and encouraging. And give people words as well. Don't be shy to come forward and give someone a word. And just because Willem's been your lead elder for 5 years doesn't mean he doesn't need encouraging. So when last have you sent him a WhatsApp or said, what can I pray for? All of us, need encouragement. We all need to be lifted up. We all need to persist. And we all have our little dips along the way. I enjoy this drive from Somerset West to Krabo, and there's quite a few ups and downs. And life is like that. We go sometimes have little lulls, and other times we feel, wow, we can take on the world. I'm the king of the world. But we do have these little valleys, and we've got to encourage each other to get through that. Amen.
I think, just looking, I always like to see where the Lord is leading. And seeing where we were last week, when we spoke about what happens next, you remember that? And we specifically focused on two areas, sin and weakness, not weaknesses, brokenness, and how often the Lord needs to, and Craig shared it, that often there's a no that happens where God has to take some no's. And so no can be a sin. It can be something that you know, this is in my life and God doesn't want it here. And sometimes it's a thing of where we just have to be obedient. Whether you see it as sin or not, whether you know, and then it comes through that procrastination thing that you think, man, next week, next month, next year, then Lord. But there's two responses that I do feel in my heart from this morning. I think let's start again and give just a small opportunity. If there's anything at the moment that you know and the Lord has been, maybe you didn't respond last week about a no, something that the Lord is challenging you to say, listen, before I can get to the yeses, I need to deal with the no's. So maybe just close your eyes as we sit and just give the Lord an opportunity. And I'm not going to linger long on this because I do feel the Lord does want to move to the yeses with a lot of us this morning. But if there's anything in your life, if there's anything in your life that God has been speaking about for a while, or even this morning, that you feel convicted on, and God has been saying to you something for a while, I do feel that this morning the Lord is encouraging us and inviting us to a space of being obedient to that again. And that's not something that, it's a decision that we make. It's a yes, Lord. Immediately, I'll follow you, Lord, even if I don't see it myself. And so if that's you, I want to just give that opportunity for you to just submit that to the Lord. Surrender it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And I'm making the decision this morning that I'm stepping away from whatever this thing is, whatever this no is. So if that's you, just say that to the Lord. Just take a moment to say that to the Lord. Anything that He is convicting you on or showing you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for not just a choice this morning, but that your Holy Spirit will help us when we walk out of here to be able to be obedient in this no, in this area that you are highlighting, that you want to move on with us into new things, into the more of Jesus, but that you know you can't if we don't deal with this thing or these things sometimes even. So, Father, we pray that you will just bring your Holy Spirit even into this place right now and just bring freedom in this area that they have just confessed. Bring a freedom, Lord Jesus, that they can turn their backs to it and walk towards Jesus and walk towards what Jesus has in this next season. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Empower us, Lord. Empower us, Lord, that it's not just a decision, but that it's a repentance that turns towards you, away from whatever it is that you are showing. We pray that in Jesus' name. And then I just feel a second response, and that's towards the yeses. And I love that perspective that Craig brought this morning. I do think that often we focus so much on the no's. Don't do this, don't do that. And that often that God has actually started to challenge us into the more. And as I was sitting here, there was something, and it's going to sound like boasting, but hear my heart. I do feel that there's a scripture actually that says you can follow the example of the elders because they actually have a testimony of that they can show up and say, listen, I've made certain. And there's a side of myself, and I can even use Craig and Joy, even if I have to walk a little bit further from myself. But a lot of you as well. That there was a time when the Lord, and I said it actually earlier, there was a time when we joined Josh and the Lord said to us, to me and Leonie, for this next season, and this season is still on, for this next season you don't say no to anything. You say yes to everything, and I will. If it's not from me, I'll talk you out of it. And I feel that there's something of even my own walk that